Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back live. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have my partner for the last, most count now. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is anymore. I don't know anything anymore. I'm losing track. But I just know he's the one and only Sean Black in the building.
Yes, thank you.
And, of course, I have a lady who's too busy baking her eyes off right now to bake me 25 cupcakes because she loves me so much because I am the favorite hot rod in the world. I have Lady T in the house, y'all.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Hello. Are you finished baking those cupcakes for me?
No, I didn't even start baking the cake and stuff, so.
Oh, no, I'll wait for you tonight. Just have me ready by midnight, okay? That's all I ask, please.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number, 347-989-8402. Let's get right into it. I'm going to switch it up a little bit and start with Lady T with the breaking news today. Sean Black and I talked about this a little bit before the show. The breaking news, quote unquote, Bernie Sanders dropping out of the race for presidential bid. After what, 50 people running for president? Now, what are your thoughts about him finally dropping out of the race? I'm sure you're not shocked, but was it about time? And what do you think should be next for the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I don't think I'm shocked at all, actually, because he is an active senator right now, and with the crisis and everything that's going on, I figured maybe it was because of that. So, I don't know. I seen Kamala Harris speak today on one of the talk shows, so it seems like, you know, the Democrats are trying to do certain things with this unexpected crisis that we're going through, so I think that's the focus right now. So it's probably a good thing.
Good thing. And now, do you believe, or you like to believe, that Joe Biden is a man now to beat number 45 in the White House? Or do you say 45, because has it locked in for 2020?
I will definitely not comment on that. I feel that Biden, to me, was always one of the candidates. They were all qualified. Well, not all, but I'm not going to say. I had to really, I just had a flashback of one of the campaigns.
You had to think about that whole field first.
Yeah, so some of them were qualified.
Yeah.
Out of the 50 that was running, yes.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going on right now as far as with this whole coronavirus and I don't know, will coronavirus be cleared up by election time? And I don't know. It's just a lot of weird in the mix kind of things that I'm just seeing with this virus right now. So I don't even want to comment on if Joe Biden is qualified. He is now the candidate. There's nothing we could say or do, right? He is the candidate, so we shall see.
Okay, Sean Black, I'm sure you have a lot to say. Go right ahead.
Well, I won't have to say it's a lot to say. I think it was kind of expected since Sanders lost a lot of his momentum going into the most recent primaries. It was almost a foregone conclusion that Sanders was going to win, and then he rolled into the last two primaries, and Biden picked up that one win, and then he just started rolling, and then every other place started to pick up, and then a lot of that was lost. But another thing that I've noticed, and I've brought this up on the show before, is that Sanders had to not only face an uphill battle with his program his campaign of trying to get the rich to spend their fair share towards the rest of the country, and also at the same time trying to make sure that we had universal health care throughout this country. But he also had to fight the media, which, as we've seen, has done a real, I would say, not a balanced job in covering him as much as I've seen with Sanders, with Warren, and with some of the other candidates in Biden. And I think fighting that uphill battle going against him was just insurmountable. And then with the current pandemic that we're dealing with, he had no momentum to gain. He couldn't really gain any traction. And then, as we always say, you know, out of sight, out of mind, he's not on television being able to remind people about certain things because, as Lady T was saying, he's an active member in the Senate. He actually has to now do certain things within his job, within his state of Vermont, to make sure that they have what they need at the Senate level. So he couldn't compete against that, and that's pretty much what rolled against him.
But as we discussed earlier before the show, if this is statement was true or not, one of the reasons that he lost momentum and started losing race was a lot of young people during that time, during the election, were not voting.
Yes.
Do you believe that is true? Do you also believe that was a huge impact or oxymoron? I said that, you know,
oh,
kids.
But that killed him. It's kind of like a catch 22. It's like you remember the old commercial that they had, the Native American talking about how to get a job without experience and how to get experience without a job. It's the same kind of thing. You want to have younger voters to get the candidacy, but if they don't vote, how does that work? And the same thing is that he, as probably more than any other candidate, especially in the Democratic Party, was to appeal to the young voter, to appeal to the millennial. And those same people that he appealed to, either by being jaded, by maybe they thought that, well, maybe he's not going to get the nomination, whatever was the case, those same people that he actually championed for, they didn't show up to the polls. So you don't have that particular vote, you're not going to win. And plus, Biden had a huge, huge amount of women voters and African-American voters. And if you're a Democrat, you're going to need those two groups if you even try to stand a chance to win the nomination.
Yeah, but here we are between you, me, Lady T, and Kendall. We preach this all the time on the program for the last couple of years. Go out and vote. Go out and vote. If you want change, go out and vote. And Sanders was talking to the young people, you know, with the free health care, free tuition, free that, the socialism stuff that I personally against for, you know, but besides that, here's the man who's talking for you guys, but at the same time, you did not step up for him. So should they be upset if Trump or Biden win overall?
I think we know the answer to that one.
Yeah, but it's like, no, you know, when Hillary lost the election, he was out there crying, blah, 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 you know, going through therapy, getting free pizza in college, you know. And 4 years later, he had a chance to make a difference, but he's still online doing stupid videos on TikTok of licking toilet bowls or doing dance moves and others that's, like, mind-boggling. It's like, where is the priority overall in this? Once again, guys, you want to call into the number to the show, it's 347-989-8402. That's 347-989-8402. And on to, before I get started, a history lesson, Sean Black and Lady T. We believe back in February of this year, the first Monday, we talked about the coronavirus. It's been over 2 months. The show has been talking about the coronavirus. But your president, Sean Black, said that this coronavirus just jumped out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere.
He actually had it on his desk, they said, in November, but okay.
In November? Yeah, back in November. I remember you told me that maybe a few weeks ago. Back in November.
Mm-hmm.
And they still did not do anything about it.
Because remember when they deflected it, it's a Democratic hoax and so forth, and, you know. fake news and all of that.
But the thing I know what I'm saying, it started back in China. And here it is spreading around the world. And we didn't do anything about it. We talked about it. But no one did anything about it until now.
Then we had, 10 cases when we spoke about it? It was 10 cases.
Yeah.
A lot of viewers didn't believe it, thought it was, hey, it's going to be like the flu. I don't think so. When something attacks your lungs, which is a valuable organ, not that all of them aren't valuable, but causes pneumonia and so forth, I think that's something totally different than the flu. So,
and so between that, what you just told me, and just like the lady and myself, Sean Black, we all know people who got it right now. We know people, family, friends, who passed away from the virus right now.
Yep.
Just in New York City alone, I'm sorry, not in New York State, we lost over close to 800 people in a day. 800 people. Record breaking. Even though the corona cases has not risen, but the death is still going. It's not going away. And that's a crazy part. So my question to you guys, starting with Sean Black, being quarantined for the last couple of weeks, basically, what's your integral between the stress, the impact, and the life-changing lifestyle of the coronavirus or COVID-19?
Well, what I can say is that, the one thing is that all of us, what I know I've done, and I know what a lot of other people that I know of in our age group have done, is you're checking up on elderly relatives, a mom, a dad, an uncle, a grandparent. You're making sure that they're okay. You quarantine yourself as best you can. If you don't have to leave the house, you don't. If you do, you try to be as careful as possible. But the one thing that I've heard amongst all of the other people that I know of, which also makes you kind of scratch your head at this, is how often people wash their hands, which was something that you were supposed to be doing to begin with. And when I think about all of the times that, let's say you've gone to the mall and you've had to go to the bathroom, and of course you finish with what you got to do, you go wash your hands before you leave. How many times have you been in the stall or you've just gotten out from going to the bathroom and you've seen somebody go to the stall directly next to you or was at a urinal or was someplace else and just walk straight out of the bathroom without washing their hands? That's become much more evident. I'm seeing, obviously, more people walking around with masks. I'm seeing more people walking around with handkerchiefs. If my mother has to leave the house, she's going to make sure that she has her face covered. You hear about the stuff that going on. You don't want to wear masks and everything else, and everything has evolved. She's wearing a mask. She got a small miniature personal thing of Lysol that she takes with her. And if she has to jump in the car, she's wiping down the handle, closing the door. She'd make it. Everybody's doing all of that. That is, I think the biggest thing is the stress of not knowing going around how you're going to get it, what you're going to do. And I think if you're careful, you're fine. But the thing is that you can't let your guard down. I think that's probably what I get mostly out of this. And
you cannot let your guard down. And it was also a thing that's overreacting. You're scrubbing the floors, scrubbing the ceiling, scrubbing the skin.
There are people that are going overboard with it. But I think part of it is due to the fact that the media has not known how to cover this initially. And I think also the heads up, the people that are on top, the ones that are where they're supposed to be in a position to help, the position to inform, give us so much misinformation and things going on. They don't know what to believe anymore.
I'm very happy you brought that point out because I like to know what is the true information out there because, and let me let you know, I've been receiving so much information that people got from doctors and nurses and experts about what to do, what not to do. I'm so confused of how to handle the situation. If you have a fever, you take Tylenol, or you don't take Advil, or you scrub your hands. I'm like, okay, guys, what to do? It's like there's so many information out there. What's the best way to handle this? Handle the COVID virus. You got people out there who took the test. Have to wait weeks later. weeks to find out if they're positive or not. Well, you have some areas, like in Long Island, in New York, who will do the test in 15 minutes. And you have certain communities that have nowhere to take the test, so they probably walk around positive. Because I'm sure Lacey was aware today that in the news, they were talking about a minority breakdown of how many percentage of the Hispanics got the COVID virus, or how many people died from the virus, also how many black people died from the virus and got the virus.
We could do the stats on it all day, Hot Rod. We can sit here and talk about the stats all day, but let me explain something to you. One thing that I've noticed during this time, we're all on the same platform. I don't care if you're rich or poor. It really doesn't matter. Anybody can get it. And right now, I think people need to pause, humble themselves, take in all the information, research. Just today, I actually saw, and I've been talking about this already with the masks. They have different masks that they're showing you that will not prevent the virus. They'll show you which ones can help prevent the virus and so forth. When it winds down to cloth ones, the cloth ones are doing nothing for the virus other than preventing you from catching a cold, let's say. So people don't even know which mask to use. Everybody's just in panic. People are not even realizing the longer you keep the mask on, picture me suffocating you with a pillow. How long can you tolerate that? You get what I'm saying? So I think people need to take in the information and then do your research, because I've seen them say, okay, you can use the mask, and they say, no, you don't need a mask. Sure, then you can use a cloth bandana. Oh, you can use a scarf. Listen, stop the games, because y'all don't even know. And right about now, I'm drained with listening to it. I think I've gotten enough information that I've gotten, and I think during this time, instead of us dealing with fear, start thinking with some common sense, because it's not hard to figure out, okay, you just came from the outdoors. Take your shoes off when you come into your house. Wash your hands. Wash your face. I'm thinking these are things you learn from little. I don't know.
But see, here's the thing. You're dealing at it with common sense. You have common sense. I have common sense. To some degree, Hot Rod has common sense. As you've heard me say before, common sense really isn't that common.
I think that was a compliment, Sean.
And what the thing is that, especially like I said before, I don't have any children, but you two do. And I know the mindset is always of, it forces you to become much more of a researcher, much more of somebody that is looking to go, like, to read between the lines of certain things and be a little more judicious with what you do and do not believe. And if you want to find out certain things, that also forces you to basically become your own detective. And I think as a society, we have also become, as you're supposed to, you're dependent to a degree on your public officials. The problem is, in this environment and in this climate, it's very hard to believe anything that comes from this administration, because for the last 3 years and change, it's been, don't believe the media, don't believe science, don't believe facts, disavow all of that stuff. And then when you do need an elected official or somebody that has power that can inform you with something to tell you what you need, whatever, now you can't fully believe what you're given. When the president can basically say, endorse taking a drug that is not 100% proven, and somebody says, you know what, the president told me to take that drug, hydrochloroquine, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And
well,
the person took the wrong
patient.
One. Yes. And what ended up happening is that instead of taking the one which is used for malaria and certain disorders, this person ended up taking one that had phosphate in it, which was used for killing parasites in fishing tanks for aquariums, and it ended up killing him. And the problem is the differentiation between the information that's given from the people that are not doctors and scientists as opposed to people that are, that is when it becomes dangerous.
Can I say something about that drug real quick that you just spoke on? Because one thing that the doctors are saying, and this is why they're I think Dr. Fauci is not saying that that is the solution yet, is because mm-hmm. all it does is suppress the immune system. So I'm just thinking, why aren't we knowing what foods boost the immune system? I don't. I'm just not understanding. Right. You know, why do we need to just resort to some drug that's going to suppress it? This sounds even more dangerous. Or
well,
it's. I mean, I know the answer. Why I don't want to say it on here, but I think you guys got the point.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
And that's what's so frustrating.
To add on to your point earlier, guys, about research, about
mm-hmm.
the community with, you know what, reason why it's high among black people and poor community because there's not enough research, not enough supplies, not enough health care going on, or, you know what, or the people don't care about the, or they don't care about the poor people. What do you say about that, Lady T?
I say some of these people don't have access to laptops and things like that. It was hard even getting certain students, you know, the tablets and so forth in certain yeah. communities. They don't have, don't forget the libraries are closed now, which is a resource that a lot of those people in the communities would use, would be the libraries to go online and so forth. It's closed now. So as far as that goes, it's going to be very, very, very hard because those are the people that are trusting what's being said as far as, you know, on TV and so forth because that's probably the only thing that they have to,
yeah. And the other,
you know, look at or find that information from.
Yeah. And the other dynamic, which is kind of frustrating, I think, which a lot of people don't realize, is that especially in minority communities, African-American, Hispanic communities, there is already underlying health issues with African Americans and with Hispanics, diabetes, high blood pressure, etc. A lot of those don't have the adequate health care to begin with. And we all know that COVID-19 is especially deadly to people with underlying health issues. When you don't get adequate health care to begin with, because of that, and you're starting to see in a lot of places that have a small population of minorities end up becoming the majority of the people dying from this disease. And it's really getting, it's at a real big peak. Like Michigan, you're starting to hear 30% of the people that are dying, I think it's 30% of the population that gets it were African-American, but they're like 70% of the people that are dying there. Same thing in Louisiana. Happening in New York, is the percentage is somewhere in that area also. So this is going to be a problem that's going to have to get mitigated going forward, because when we do get ahead of this at some point, then we're going to have to find out now who is going to pay for the health care, what's going to qualify as a pre-existing condition when people who have now lost their jobs don't have the health care to cover not only the COVID-19 stuff, but also whatever they were dealing with before they got sick.
Well, talking about health care now, health care, job loss, over 10 million people applied for unemployment, record breakers, stores closing. Sean, I'm still talking about $1,200 check that you promised me a couple weeks ago. All these changes going on. Do you guys see, I mean, there will be progress one day, but do you see anything, can you say that this will be, do you see yourself, I'm sorry, do you see everything going back to normal at all? Sean?
I don't know what normal is anymore. And you have to think that everything evolves. I think right now we won't know what a baseline is going to be until, I guess, we figure how long this is going to be. We don't know what's going to happen election-wise. We don't even have sports leagues out there. We have people that have businesses that are shuttered. Banks are closed in a lot of areas. Supermarkets, some of them having problems. You know, all of these things are going to have to change the mindset of how you deal with people, how you greet people, where you go, how you greet them, how you interact with other people's children. Pets. We just heard a tiger in the Bronx Zoo came down with the COVID-19 and spread it to other tigers in the in enclosement. There's so much we don't know about this, so we won't even know how this is going to deal with. But what I do like, I'm seeing a lot of like police officers and firefighters basically being treated like the heroes that they are, because they're the ones that are in the front lines of all of this stuff. I don't know what to think with all of those people.
And don't forget the cashiers and your people at your local stores and corner stores and so forth. They're heroes too, because they're on the front line too.
Mm-hmm.
So
but as far as things going back to normal, Hot Rod, it's like Sean said, what is going to be the new normal? I don't know. One thing that concerns me is mental health. I'm just looking at a lot of things with a lot of people right now with this time, and you have a lot of people who are cranky because they're so bored and they're so this and they're so that. I'm just looking at it like, you know, this is time you're not going to get back. Make the most of it and do everything that you wanted to do. Let's say your spring cleaning. I don't know. Whatever it is that you need to do, because the minute that it does go back, it's going to be fast-paced because the economy is obviously going to need to be picked up. So it's like, as far as with job loss and things like that, I'm sure people will be getting their jobs back because there's going to be employers that are going to need people. We've been through this with Hurricane Sandy and 9/11, you know. So as far as that, I feel like, okay, you're on a pause, you're collecting the unemployment. Make the best of it in the meantime so that when it's time to get back, you are prepared. As far as that, I think we should be focusing on our health, even if you're not sick, because something that scared me that they said is, like, how the flu comes back around when September comes. You know what I mean? We're going to be back in that flu season. It's a possibility that this may come back. So what are we going to do? Put people on lockdown again? What are we going to possibly do?
Buy more masks.
It's crazy because it's like the cycle of it. I'm wondering where people's mental health is going to be when this is all over. And some people are focused on their mental health, some people aren't. I'm seeing a lot of people showing their true colors of who they are. Shadiness is coming out. You got people grumpy. I've seen a talk show host, I'm not going to say her name, but she had a comment, and they were speaking on it because she was talking about she feels like she's locked down, and they said something with her mansion. Why would she feel like that?
Yeah,
but
So
whatever the case is, even watching her show yesterday, she felt really grumpy. She had one of her employees, you know, doing her windows, and I'm just like, okay, whatever. But she felt like when is this going to be over? But the employee was out there doing the windows. I'm just like, you know, I'm seeing a lot of shady sides of people in this time. You know, I like watching people true colors now, because when this is all over, don't go back to that fake cherry, you know, person that you present yourself to be.
I don't know.
That bothers me. So, you know, I know people are aggravated, but a lot of different things are coming out.
This is where you start to see the integrity of people.
Yeah, the integrity is definitely – integrity and their true characters are definitely coming out.
Well, talking about integrity, Brother B, he's, you know, he's the smartest man on this earth right now. Brother B.
Yeah. Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Hey, Brother B.
Greetings and salutations.
Listen. So, Brother B, do you see – after all this is done, hopefully it's done sooner than later, do you see – everything going back to normal, or this is definitely a life changer?
Hey, listen, I got to quote Pac. He said, you know, you're going to see a lot of things that's going to make it hard to smile. And I believe it was, he said that right before one of the song featuring Scarface called Smile For Me. And it's like, yo, there's going to be a new normal, man. I mean, simple and plain. I mean, some people are pandering to the fear, some people are not. Me, I can't live in that fear. All I can do is just be extra cautious and a little vigilant in terms of where I go, what I do. You know, like if I'm around strangers, I know I got to be careful. If I'm around my loved ones, you know, I can't treat them like strangers. And that's an issue with me. Like, how are we supposed to? There are people out there that are not seeing their mothers, their grandmother. I was talking with a coworker yesterday. He said, yo, I ain't seen my mom in like 3 weeks, man, because I don't want to make a mistake and give something to her. I mean, not to say that I have it, but, you know, and you know, listen, like I said, I haven't seen my daughter in a month. I got to go do a drive-by tomorrow, man. I got to go see my kids, man. I like, this is driving me crazy. And like Lady T said, and she's been saying, it's like, yo, the mental fallout is going to be real because you're asking people to change the way of life that they've been living for so long, going to barbecues, going this, just jumping in the car or train to go see somebody or jumping on a plane. Now all of that is like, yo, people are not trusting anyone. How are you going to go to a basketball game in the future and sit next to somebody that's screaming, yelling, and coughing after something like this? How are you going to be comfortable being in the public, you know, around a whole bunch of people? I mean, like we said it the other, we were talking about it the other day on the show. Like, yo, somebody coughs or sneezes, you ready to start fighting?
Yeah,
you ready to start fighting. Like some people are just taking it a little too far, and I think there's going to be a new normal. The whole thing is, we just have to get used to it, or we have to find our way in what is going to be the new normal. Like, how is it going to work for you? How can you make it work for you?
Here's one that I heard. There was I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he basically was saying, well, what happens during the summer? Are people going to be afraid to turn the air conditioners on because they don't think that, oh, if they turn the air conditioner on, it's going to circulate the air from outside, and it's going to, you know, like conspiracy theory type stuff. But it's stuff that you think about that you don't have information about yet,
exactly,
because you don't know what
info.
It's like saying the 5G networks are giving you coronavirus now.
Oh, that was,
you know?
Oh my, that was one of the dumbest things I've heard this year.
But we have, before I go to my point, K-Dog, anything you'd like to add on to it?
Well, good evening, everybody. Now, like the question that I've asked is that once this is over, are we ever going to get back to normal? Because even as you look out your window and, you know, the weather is nice, and even today, you know, what I did was that I had to turn out the news. I couldn't listen to it anymore with all the things that's going on. And, of course, you know, allow me to add a little personal thing with the loss that I've been through that you guys already know. But it's like people are not, like, humbling themselves, or people don't know what to do when they're home. It's either they're frustrated, they're pissed off, they're like, oh, what am I doing? Or I need to be outside. Guess what? There's a lot of things you could be doing inside the house that can be very enlightening. There's a whole lot. There's a whole lot of things.
Well, to your point, K-Dog, and I mentioned this on Brother B's show last night about social distance, how, you know, the pressure out there, and you have some religious beliefs. You have, you know, the mega churches that are still having the gatherings. The Orthodox Jews, what happened in Brooklyn the other day, there were like 2,000 people in the streets because a rabbi had passed away. There's like, well, all these social gatherings going on. Do you think they're rude, or did I get ahead together when you see these type of, I'm like, they have the right to practice their religious beliefs, understood. But do you think there should be a fine line about this?
Well, what I could say is that some churches, I'm not saying all of them, especially some of the mega churches, the big televangelists, they're not even having they're having services online. But also you have these pastors of the mega churches who want the money, and they don't care that they're putting their followers at risk. Because in listening to one of the main televangelists, he was talking about that. He said, you know, yes, you can have faith. Yes, we could have church, but I choose to do my church online to prevent people from danger, You know, just to, you know, imagine you're sitting in a big room and a whole bunch of people breathe and you don't know who has what. And it becomes a problem because later on you hear so-and-so get sick. You have a bunch of people get sick. Ain't there a lot of men of the, a lot of pastors and priests have gotten sick.
Mm-hmm.
But however, some people are okay with going to church online or they're watching the church on TV. And trust me, there are some of them, some of these televangelists who have huge mega churches. They have their church service online and nobody's there in the church except them. And they're all right with it. But some people are greedy for money. And also, in the area that I live in, and I've seen this, like, huge gatherings and Jews have the, and no disrespect, but they're having huge gatherings and people are like, wow, you're not even wearing masks or gloves or, you know, you don't understand how severe this thing is.
And so you find that like, a little bit like disrespectful in a way, like, you know what, you put yourself in danger and our lives in danger as well.
Well, yeah, because it's like you're having a total disregard for it.
And Keshawn Black, before we move on, I sent you a video of the Jewish neighborhood being hosed down by water, by I don't know what.
Yeah.
Because the Jewish people refused to go home. Do you think that was an ultimate disrespect, or that's a signal right there, like, you know what, guys, go home. Go your separate ways.
I personally think it was disgusting. This it invokes, when you see any group of people being hosed down with water hoses, if you're an African American or anybody that might have lived in the 60s, you know what that evokes, just that image.
Yeah.
So to even suggest that that be the case, whatever your thought process is, was just disgusting to do. But also, we're also starting to see a lack of consistency with this social distancing thing, which I predict will probably be in the Webster's Dictionary by the next edition. But what happens is, there was, I saw something on the news, a father with his daughter out in an open park with nobody there, were out throwing a baseball with each other. Just the son, father and the daughter. And the father was arrested because they weren't adhering to the social distancing thing. Come to find out that the person they arrested was either a corrections officer or a former cop. Now, what ended up happening is that they realized how stupid it sounded because, one, there's nobody else is there. And two, they were the only two in that whole vicinity. The crazy part about it is, the people that the cops that arrested him did not have masks or gloves on. So you're going to arrest this guy for something that you're not even doing yourself. This is the kind of craziness that's been going on in this country.
It's very, very heartbreaking because 3 feet, 6 feet, you'll still get the same effect. You're not up in someone's face regardless. So as far as with all these things, with the tickets and things like that, I mean, if you want to go around reminding and giving warnings, sure. But the Supreme Court will be having cases on this, and I'm sure a law will then be passed and things like that because some people are going to feel like it's unjust. They didn't, you know, bring this coronavirus on themselves and so forth. So some people are going to actually fight for that. You understand what I'm saying? So I think at a safe distance, you're playing ball with your son. You need to step back to throw and so forth, catch. I don't know how old the child was, but come on.
The child, I believe, was 9 or 8.
With ball throwing, you're still going to have some sort of contact with your kid. It's going to be more than, you know, less than 6 feet. You get what I'm saying? So this is not a realistic point of view and action for this. So
And especially if the child, if the father and the child are playing, because from the video that they showed, they were like 15 feet away. If anybody's throwing a baseball, you know how far you have to be to really, you know, to play catch with somebody. But even more so, the fact is, if they are together, then chances are that both of them are not worrying about getting themselves infected because they're living in the same house, they're living in the same home, in that sense, with nobody else around them. That's where this whole thing comes from. And
you're going to have
cases like this pop up a lot, I think.
If you don't mind, Sean Black just reminded me of something. I'm at work last night. Somebody had 10-10 wins on. I was in and out of listening to it because I'm just kind of tired of listening to the news and stuff like that. But anyway, they were talking about, I think it was a city in Italy where they were talking about they were heavily quarantined, but yet after, you know, their quarantine, they noticed that there was still a spike in their numbers of people who had it. So they said what they believe is the people that were quarantined, the people that were living in the house were kind of giving it, you know, to one another. So they said they were kind of playing with the fact or playing with the notion of maybe going into certain homes or going into people's homes, testing them. Whoever has it, they're going to remove them and quarantine them, and then everybody else can stay in the house. So basically what you're saying is you can just go into someone's house, take them out, and whether it's the kids, the grandmother, mother, father, daughter, just take them out, quarantine them somewhere until you feel it's okay to come back. You see, my issue is the legal, what's going to be pushed legally behind what you guys were just saying about the kid and the father in the park. Like, how do you explain to an 8 or 9-year-old that, oh, well, we're living in a time where daddy or mommy has to be 6 feet away from you? And you know how kids are. Kids love hugging. Kids love you. They love being all over their parents, stomping on you, head, all types. We see hot rod videos all the time with kids beating them silly.
Kids using him as a human slide.
Exactly.
Or just explain to a 9-year-old why is mom or dad getting arrested. But to Butterby's point,
every time I come home from work or from outside, especially from work, you know, it's daddy, they ready to run to me. I'm screaming at them, don't come near me, guys. I'm dirty. Daddy's dirty. And they're looking at me like, well, we know you're dirty, but you don't look dirty, you know. But they don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I need to take off my clothes. I need to sanitize my hands and everything because, you know, I don't want to bring in. I don't want to get my kids.
But now, Hot Rod, we know that's like one of the greatest feelings in the world. Now, what happens if one day you come in the house and the kids just don't run to you? They just say, hey, Dad, and they keep their distance. That right there is I couldn't deal with it.
It just can't be the new norm, and this is the point I make with the mental health of all of this. What is that going to be like? The mental health, the emotional health. What are y'all doing as far as y'all being couples? Anybody is hugging, kissing anymore?
It is difficult because, you know, all people have to do now, and the sad thing about it is that they're using the phone, especially if you don't live with the person, your better half, and it's like you're going to be on the phone with them. Staying on the phone with them is totally different because you're not going to be able to see the person physically. You understand? It's not going
to
be
unless we have apps for that, guys. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. But come on, I'm going to blow a kiss through an app. Mwah. Stop it!
Yeah, you can't. But you can't grab ass through the screen. That's not.
But this is what I'm saying. You're gonna get tired. You need the real life. Okay,
the physical
stimulation. Blow a kiss. Yeah. You really do, because that stimulates the mental as well. This is my concern: mental health with all of this. We're gonna be emotionalist walking creatures or something. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Like, well, to me, spiritually, what will we do? We'll be in an empty place.
Humans are very emotional, communal people. They have to be around other people. I mean, you can just tell how a human interacts with a pet, or how they interact with little kids, or how they interact with other humans. Just the human condition is such where they emotionally are attached to something, whether it's another person or their favorite inanimate object, television or whatever. So if you know that you can't show the emotions that you have towards your little daughter or your little son or your nephew or your uncle or your mom or dad, that's going to take a toll on you at some point. Because if you're, especially if you're one of those type of people that's used to being very affectionate, you have to now potentially temper your affection in a way that is going to be safe, because in the back of most people's minds now, because they have this corona fear in the back of their mind, what's that going to do to them going forward? Oh, how am I going to interact with grandma?
But Sean, how about to the point, how about the people that live together that's ready to kill each other right now? Will they be quarantined for the last 3 weeks?
They've already talked about divorce has gone up in this country because of the last 3 weeks. Like, it's
been
up.
Let me make you laugh. Can you explain that logic to me? Are people ready to kill each other after, like Sean said, 3 weeks living together?
No, you're right.
Because some people only deal with their partner for a certain amount of time. Like, they go visit. You know, it's different if you spend a weekend together and stuff like that, but you're talking about a week to 2 weeks of constantly seeing each other every day. Somebody's in front of the fridge, and then somebody's like, oh, what you looking at? And then you go to the bathroom, that person's going to the bathroom, and you're trying to nap, and that person wants to nap or wants to watch TV or loud. It's like you don't have any personal space or personal time. Nothing to yourself.
Flush the toilet. Stop brushing your teeth with the door open. And you hear that 24/7. That'll probably drive someone crazy.
Oh, too much snoring 24/7. Oh, wait.
I know you're blowing up the bathroom.
You can't wash up yourself.
But think about it. Everybody been out. Either you go to school, you go on to work. Do what your coworkers for 8-9 hours a day. Then you come home, do what you need to do, talk on the phone for a little bit to you, or be on social media at bedtime. That was a lifestyle for millions of people. So to live together all day long for 24 hours, it takes a toll. Like, that's mental. That's a mental problem. And for some people, they can't see their side chicks or their side guys.
Hold on,
because the side chicks are invasive right now, and then you got the friends that are very invasive and very lonely right now. So it's like, you know, this is probably why the divorce rates are going up also.
You know?
So I can understand
that. Listen, wear a mask and gloves.
Wear a mask and gloves.
I have to make love to my wife for all 3 weeks. That's insane, you know?
You should take advantage of it. She may never want to touch you again. Take advantage of it while you can.
For those that don't get to see a lot of their loved ones that often, if you are with them, you get to spend that time that you didn't. Let's say you're like in a marriage where the husband is always off at work, and or the wife is always off at work, and you almost never see each other. You have to schedule time with each other. Now you have the time alone with each other. You can actually spend time, talk to each other. Something that I saw in the news about how crossword puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, have now gone like through roofs. Like, you can't find a place that sells jigsaw puzzles now because so many families are now ordering puzzles and board games and having a lot of family time with each other.
And books and things.
They play board games together and they're fine.
Yeah. Now, Lady T, do you remember when we had the blackout in New York back in, what was it, 2012?
I certainly do. I had to walk over the bridge from my job in Manhattan.
Now, remember,
I walked home. My thighs never felt better, but yeah.
Yeah. The blackout lasted 2 days. And if you remember, the day that it happened, everybody was outside and like, oh, we don't know what's going on. But what ended up happening is because nobody knew what the normal was going to be like, people were inside. People did go outside, and they were whatever food that they had in their freezers or in their refrigerator, they were out barbecuing. People that you haven't seen in the neighborhood for a little bit, they're hanging out talking.
But
nobody
you can't do that now.
And that's the thing. The people that are in your own house, you could probably do something with as far as spending time with them. It kind of forces you to actually engage
with 24/7. I don't want to be with you for 24/7. I need my space. I need to get away from you. That's the thing.
But why not?
You know?
Is this time not for all you guys on the panel? Is this time not like a little bit humbling for a moment?
No. But go ahead.
It's always humbling when you know what it is?
Because you know what it is? It's like you get to discover a lot of things. There's a lot of things that people don't realize. Like when you're home, there's a lot of things that you might not realize. Because especially, let's just say, like the crossword puzzle, the board game, reading something, binge watching TV, or...
Yeah.
You're learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is? People are so used to being outside. People are so used to social media. People are so used to, just sitting there on the phone that they don't realize the many other things that technology has. You know, I was speaking to my nieces, and they were telling me YouTube became their best friend because they were learning how to do things from watching YouTube, you know, to enlighten their minds.
Can you tell them YouTube been around for like over 20 years now?
Goes to the point that I was making. It humbles people right now. They're mm-hmm. now taking advantage of YouTube and things like that, where before you may have been on the go. You don't have time for YouTube, you know?
Exactly.
For those that have that giant stack of movies that they bought, you know, from say Christmas or whenever,
you can
sit down and take the time, you know, like my mother and I, we play a lot of Uno, watch a lot of movies. So a lot of people that have the time to do it, now they have that time. And it's kind of forcing you to, like what Lady T said, humble you and get you ready for the fact that, you know what, we have some actual downtime to take care of yourselves as your mental health and everything else. And you now have lots of leisure time for a lot of people. Take advantage of that time. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
I look at the positive. The roads are a lot clearer.
The air is much cleaner.
to a degree, to a degree, people are a little bit more, just a slight more, you know, courteous, because no one wants to be around each other because of social distancing. So it was like, oh, you go through the door first. No, you go through the door first. Okay, no problem. Thank you. Like, you know, people, you know, it's very interesting. There's an interesting calm that goes on, especially like since I work overnights, and I'm just looking at the streets and it's just like dead. It's empty, and it's like, wow. Like I've never did the city that
never
actually taken a nap.
You never seen that before in New York. Empty streets.
Especially anytime you see 42nd Street, the only people that I've been seeing on 42nd Street when I pass by there is cops. Like that's it. It's like what is the even purpose? And you realize like all these lights and everything that's on. What is it on for? Like there's no one out there. It's empty. But like I said, it's an interesting calm. It's like kind of a reset because now we're getting back to a normal that we weren't used to anymore,
but
where people actually,
side,
like you said, playing cards with your mother, people hanging out with the kids, you know, oh, well, I ain't got to go to work. I can work from home so we can spend more time together. We can cook meals. Your kids learning how to do things and stuff like that. It's a blessing on one end. It's a blessing for some, but it's a curse for others.
But now, as we're moving forward towards this, this pandemic, what can we do now to ourselves? Like, are people eating better now? Are people changing their ways now?
Let me tell you something. I was pissed. I live in New Rochelle. I had to go all the way to this spot that I know in Brooklyn to go get me some damn ginger. You believe that? I had to go to the spot in Brooklyn. Luckily, I was working in the city because, certain places, either they don't have stuff anymore, it's crazy. But I'm not paying $3 a pound for ginger. ain't never paid no damn $3 a pound for ginger. So, yeah, I mean, I've always.
Well, it's like paying $11 for a can of Lysol. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And
also,
you know why?
Listen,
where ginger
I heard
immune fighting substance.
But you know what, Lady T? But that goes to show you how many people weren't concerned with taking care of themselves.
Exactly.
Before. Now all of a sudden everybody want to be Mr. or Mrs. Clean, and now everybody want to take care of themselves and get orange pills and gin. As soon as somebody puts something on the internet, they go out and buy all these groceries and they stick their head over a hot pot.
Which goes right back to Lady T's point of being humble, which is a perfect.
Lady T?
Nope.
Lady T, you don't lie? Lady T, I'm not going to lie to you, Lady T. I've been watching I've had Chinese food in over a month since they all closed down. Number two,
please. I haven't. It's been almost a year.
I had green tea this morning. I'm drinking tea now. I had green tea with no sugar. And I'm telling you right now,
I've known Hot Rod for over 20 years. I've only seen him drink tea once in my life. That should tell you something.
No, that's good.
He's
good for you, man.
I'm just trying to prove Brother B's point that this is a life changer and to maintain humble. For me, the Hot Rod. Everybody knows I love to drink. But they say a lot of people are drinking right now because they're all stressed out and worried. I'm not drinking that much. You know, I kind of like drinking less, believe it or not. Not because
you kind of have a choice, I think.
I don't know.
The reason why I say that is because you have so much more on your plate now between your job and then that the kids are now home. You don't really have the time to really do that. So that's part of the priority shift is when a pandemic will force you to really reevaluate what you really prioritize or not, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And trust me. By the end of the day, and I texted Lady T yesterday, she told my school nurse, I'm pooping. I mean, God damn. Teaching math to a 6 year old in the son of a gun. I'm not gonna lie. It took a lot of me.
Now you know.
And you gotta have, now you know that's what I've gotten into the habit of doing, having tea every night.
And go figure. But let's say when everything do back open back up, hopefully, are the stores gonna make their money back? Is this loan that the government is giving us is really gonna help us, or is this like a little salt and pepper on the steak?
You mean that $2 trillion? That $2 trillion, which is like half of the national debt that they could have been pulling. They could have been pulling money out of years ago for other things to prevent this.
But Sean Black, didn't he just fire the guy that was overseeing it?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course.
What about the Navy captain that had the boat that got fired for actually making sure that the coronavirus didn't spread through the rest of his ship and needed to actually get some chain of command going to let people know something is going on here. And instead of being looked at as the hero that he was, somebody in the higher-ups got him fired. So
it's really sad. We should expect more controversy during this process, so I don't know why we expect it to be nice and clean.
Or,
you know,
here's another thing. All's quiet on the Western Front. Who knows what's going on while we're talking about coronavirus? We don't know what's
going
on. And that's usually when these kinds of crazy things happen. They pop up at the, we didn't realize that blah, blah, blah was happening. Well, because we've been looking at the pandemic and not looking at any of the other things that could be happening underneath. So
I just read, matter of fact, Sean Black, thank you. I just read an article about how Trump, some judge revoked the land rights to this Indian reservation.
Yes.
And it's like they have 300 acres, and now they no longer own the land. And they told them this at like 4 p.m. on a Friday as of such and such time that, you know, the land is like basically no longer yours. So, you know, they revoked their land rights. And I'm like, wow.
On that note, Sean Black, Brother B, Lady T, K-Dog, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for the show. I don't know why we'll do one again, hopefully sooner than later. You guys be safe out there to you and your family. Lady T, happy birthday to your princess. And
thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yes,
thank you, y'all.
I don't know what to say, though. Just be safe out there. Be careful, everybody, you know. Hopefully, you know, we will get through this. I know that for a fact. Because I'm about to pour myself a drink right now, you know. But guys, God bless you all, and take care of yourself. Till next time.
You guys have a good night.
Yes, have a good night.
As always, the pleasure was all me. Thank you.